Hello, everyone, and welcome to another exciting episode of the Life Podcast from your good friends here at Pacific Life. My name is Stephen Mitchell. I work in the product development area, and I'm joined here today by my friend and colleague, Bill Bell. Say hello to everyone, Bill.
Hello to the listeners of the Life Podcast. As always, happy to be with you today.
Well, we're coming to you today with another interview with someone that appeared at our recent Total Solutions Forum in Huntington Beach, and we had some outstanding speakers as usual, and we have nabbed a couple of those speakers for some previous podcast episodes, but today we're going to be hearing from Chuck Hollander. Now, Chuck is a name that is very familiar to many of our Pacific Life listeners and friends out there. Chuck has spoken at many of our company functions. Of course, Pacific Life has a terrific reputation in the industry of putting on the best industry meetings. And Chuck is one of those guys that continues to find invitations in the mail for repeated appearances at Pacific Life meetings. Chuck is a terrific sales and marketing training presenter and knows the insurance industry backwards and forwards, and is always one of these guys that when the evaluations get filled out at the end of the meeting, he's the guy that they want to hear again.
Yeah, Chuck is somebody that's got a great reputation in the industry. He is truly a kind of a world-famous sales trainer. I had a chance to talk to him. Stephen was doing one of his 19 presentations that he did at the Total Solution Forum. I honestly have to say that Chuck was probably the most enthusiastic podcast guest that we've ever had on the Life Podcast. And that's really saying something, because people are usually very excited and pumped to be on the Life Podcast, but Chuck took it to a whole new level. So we got about 20 great minutes out of Chuck. I hope that the listeners enjoy it. But before we get to Chuck, for the second time in history, I remembered that we actually have to have our world-famous opening disclosures before we get to our guest. So whomever is reading those today, go ahead and take it away.
This podcast is intended for financial professional use only. If you are not a financial professional, please visit our public website at pacificlife.com. Although this podcast is sponsored by Pacific Life Insurance Company, the opinions and views expressed are those of the hosts and participants and do not necessarily reflect Pacific Life Insurance Company's views on any of the topics discussed. Pacific Life Insurance Company is licensed to issue insurance products in all states except New York. Product and material availability and features may vary by state. And stay tuned after this episode for more important disclosures at the end of this podcast.
All right. Well, we are here with Chuck Hollander. Chuck, a lot of the people that listen to our podcast are familiar with you, but some of them aren't. So why don't you introduce yourself and tell everybody what it is that you do on a day-to-day basis?
Yeah. So for those of you who haven't met me, I get hired by enterprises, sales organizations, and top advisors all over the country to work on sales performance. Everybody wants to increase their sales performance. However, they're not sure where to turn. I help them look at their selling activities from the time someone meets them to the time they decide to work with them and spot the inefficiencies or the errors. And I show them how to correct it and create a lift in their sales performance.
And you've worked with our recruiters. So basically, if we have a financial professional or a producer that works with Pacific Life, you've worked with their Pacific Life representative in the past. And then you work with a lot of individual financial advisors. Isn't that correct?
Yeah, some of the industry's largest producers are my clients, and they're also your clients. They place their biggest cases with PAC Life, so they're relying on you and your support and your teams and your products to handle their biggest cases.
So we like to say that we've always had the best field force out there, but you've just helped make them that much better. It's really what it comes down to.
Well, they're already good. I don't teach new people how to sell. I work with the best and show them how to get even better. What I've learned is what I do for them is that I codify what they've been doing already successful. In other words, I help them see things that they could never see before in the sales call, during, and after. And that's the compass that you've seen a bunch of times yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's not like you're reinventing their wheel. You're taking the wheel and you're polishing it up and making it so that people can see how great the wheel really is and making it more efficient.
Well, think about this. This is a fundamental principle. You can't fix something that you can't see. You can't improve something you can't see. And every sales leader that I've ever met wants to improve sales performance. Their challenge is they're not sure where to turn. And I help them see where to go. And then I give them a methodology. It's a framework or structure so they can improve their sales performance in ways they could never have done before.
So you mentioned the Compass already. So I've seen the Compass presentation a number of times, always super impressed by it. Obviously, this is an audio program, so people can't see your actual presentation, but maybe if you could try to express what the Compass is and how you work with the Compass in regards to your training with sales professionals.
Okay, good. So the brilliance of the Compass is it's so simple. So even though I don't have slides or anything to illustrate it, I can ask the audience to do this. I want everybody, if you have a pen or a pencil, you can either draw this or visualize it. And even if you have a pencil, you can visualize it. That's the beauty of the system. And you'll take this, what I'm about to ask you to draw, not only put it in your brain, but you'll also take it into your sales meetings mentally. So here it goes. You think of a circle, and up at 12 o'clock, you would write the word satisfied. At 3 o'clock, you would write the word aware. At 6 o'clock, you would write the word fix. And at 9 o'clock on the circle, you would write the word options. So it's satisfied, aware, fix, and options. And what you just drew was the basis, the framework behind the Red Flag Compass. It is how that is a visual representation of how human beings, how everyone listening to the to our podcast today, how every human being makes decisions towards change. So it has nothing to do with sales. This is how we as human beings make decisions towards change. It's wired in our DNA. That means before our feet hit the ground when we're little human beings, it's already built in. The brilliance behind that is it makes the decision to buy is a decision to change. A decision to change from what the prospect is currently doing to what I'm recommending as an advisor. That decision to change is a decision to buy. So I link it to the sales, the buying process. Does that make sense?
It absolutely does. I mean, one of the biggest mistakes that myself and my team and everybody at Pacific Life sees when we're working with financial professionals, especially ones that haven't been doing it for as long as some of the other ones that we work with, is they try to go from 12 to 9 immediately. They go from satisfied to options.
That's right.
They don't identify what the actual problem is, what the awareness needs to be, and then what the potential solution is. They're just like, hey, how do we sell life insurance to this person? And it's like, okay, well, what do they need? What is it their issue is that they're concerned about? And that's because they haven't gone through that whole process of going from that satisfied to the aware to the fix, and then but they go in straight to the options. And that's,
you got it.
That's one of the biggest problems that we see out there for sure.
It is, and you just nailed it. So let's break down what you just said, Bill. When an advisor sees a client and maybe their insurance isn't up to date or their buy-sell agreement is not funded properly, there's an issue. The client's aware, the advisor becomes aware, and the advisor does exactly what you just said. They put their Superman or Superwoman's cape on, and they want to save the day, and they fly from 3 o'clock aware over to 9 o'clock options. And when we're doing that, because we skip 6 o'clock fix, we're actually hijacking how the human brain works. We're actually hijacking the decision-making process, the decision to change. So we fly over to 9 o'clock. Why? Because we want to help them. And if you're experienced, it's because you see the problem so quickly. So you want to go over there and help them. And you start offering solutions and how you can fix the problem. But think about it. Get back onto the visual. 12 o'clock, 3 o'clock, 6 o'clock, 9 o'clock, satisfied, aware, et cetera. So you get back to the visual. What the advisor just did is they're over at 9 o'clock offering a perfectly sound solution to someone who hasn't even decided they want to freaking fix the problem. They haven't even decided to fix it.
Or they might not even know that they have the problem.
Well, they are because they're at 3 o'clock, remember?
Oh, fair enough.
Yeah,
yes.
So they're aware. Now, if they jump the Compass super early, to your point, they might even be aware of the problem.
Well, I do see that all the time where you've got people that will go into a high net worth family and start showing them life insurance illustrations. And I'm saying, why do we need life insurance? Because they don't even know that they've got a problem.
You got it. Yeah. You got it. And what happens is we compromise a perfectly good solution. And many times the family truly needed it. So there's a couple things that you can visualize. You can see that you're jumping the gun in the sales cycle. And now you can also see why procrastination and stalled deals happen, because we go way too fast. And the quadrant between 3 and 6, how to fix this, between 3 and 6 o'clock, that's the area of the quadrant we skipped. And that one is where we help the prospect understand the impact in the absence of life insurance. Too many people want to communicate the benefits of owning life insurance, and that's wrong. You want to communicate the cost, the consequence, and risk in the absence of it. And that happens down at quadrant 2. Everybody can visualize this. I told you I'd help you see things that you couldn't see before, and that's the error between 3 and 6 o'clock. So if you want to fix that, and what Bill and I just spoke about is resonating with you, that you're jumping across the compass, is you want to just take your time and spend it in quadrant 2. And the game plan there, it's a separate conversation. It's about the cost, the consequence, and the risk in the absence of change. Is that it?
It absolutely is. And you are speaking my language here, because that's where I spend my life, is in quadrant 2. That's what the Advanced Designs Unit at Pacific Life does, is that we work with financial professionals and producers that have identified a potential issue with the client, and they want to know what's the best way to get from A to B. So how to fix said
problem. You got to slow them down. You're like, hey, Bill, I got a guy, or I got a family.
It's almost like you're listening in on my phone calls. I've got a person. Maybe do you have a good success story or two that you could share with the audience? Because I'm sure that they're all listening, saying this makes a whole lot of sense. But in the real world, how does this really help people? How has it helped one particular individual or company? Obviously, without naming any names.
Yeah. So let me share this case study. And the reason why I like this case study, because it really highlights the error that we just spoke of, where we jump across the compass to save the day. It also, I call this case study the good idea. And the reason why I call it that is because that's what the advisor did. And they presented a good idea. And you'll see in a moment why I label that. But the pro tip is, clients don't want good ideas. And the bigger the client, the more discerning the client, the less attractive good ideas are. They want solutions to overcome problems that are getting in the way of what they want. So this is a case, and the other reason why I like it is to show this framework works in any market, whether it's COLI, BOLI, estate planning, disability, long-term care. This happens to be an investment case. It has nothing to do with life insurance. But watch the patterns that you and I just spoke of, Bill. The advisor, it was a two-day session, it's 10 o'clock, the advisor raises his hand. And by the way, this is one of the largest investment advisory firms in the country. So they know how to acquire clients. They understand the sales process. And he says, Chuck, I wasn't buying into the buying truths that you just showed up on that last slide. And they are the buying truths are people fix big problems, they don't fix small ones. And that when given a choice, people will fix a problem before they pursue an opportunity. So he said, and I said, well, tell us about the case if they're now, those things are just resonating with you. He says, we have a client. He came to us and asked if we'd review one of his portfolios. And we did. And we went back to the client and showed him that he could be earning almost another $1 million on the portfolio. And at that point, when you start to use the compass, I could cut off the advisor and tell the story, because it's so predictable what happens next. It patterns. And that's what the compass does. So he presents the solution, makes it, you're earning another $1 million. I said, well, what'd the client say? He goes, this is really great. And he actually held up the proposal, thanked me, thanked the team, and said, this is great, but I can't do it now. I'd like to do it sometime in the future. I said, did you ask him why he didn't do it? He goes, yeah. And he said he owns a bunch of hardware stores all over the country. And he told us, and he was actually pissed off. That's what he said. He's pissed off the people running my stores can't hire and keep good talent. And he was pissed off because he had to use his private jet to fly employees across state lines just to keep these some of these stores afloat. Yeah. And I said, so there you go. And he goes, what do you mean there you go? I said, you just proved those two buying truths and you violated both. He proved to you that people fix big problems, they don't fix small ones. And he's making his jet fuel a bigger problem than what you showed him. The second one, man, you really violated that one. That people, when given a choice, they'll fix a problem before an opportunity. And what did you do? You showed him an opportunity to make another $1 million. I said, come on, how big was the portfolio if you were going to earn another million? He goes, it was about $100 million. And you said he was a client. Yep. I said, well, if he's a client and he's asking you to review a portfolio of 100 and he's already a client, what was his net worth?
A lot more than 100, I'm guessing. Yeah.
Yeah, because it was a little over $1 billion. I said, come on, man. What do you think a billionaire needs with another million? If every time someone came into his office and said, I'll make you $1 million, and he stopped what he was doing to chase down that million, chase down that opportunity, he wouldn't have 100 in the bank, yet alone $1 billion. I said, all you did was show him a good idea, and he doesn't want a good idea. He wants a solution. He goes, oh, okay. What would you have done, though, Chuck? I said, I would have taken your same proposal, same exact advice. And I would have walked in and I said, I got good news and bad news. And at that point, yours and my presentation changed. Nothing else was the same. I said, the bad news is that you've been losing $1 million on your portfolio. The way it's built, you're losing about $1 million. That's not a reason to come to us. You've also been losing this million for close to 5 years. The way it's been built for 5 years, you've been losing it for about 5 years, $1 million, $5 million. The reason why you should move is because you've been losing $1 million. You've been losing it for 5 years. That's five. But the real reason is you didn't even know about it. And do you see where I'm at? I'm in quadrant two. You can actually see where the conversation's happening. In quadrant one, we pinpoint the problem, a broken portfolio, portfolio construction. Quadrant two, we're talking about the impact and the absence of it. Well, $1 million. It's been going on for 5 years. It's $5 million. Nope.
Yeah, and that's not even counting compounding. That's right. On top
yeah.
of that.
Yeah. But I'm keeping it yeah. simple, and I'm still not done. And I said, listen, I said to the prospect, I said, if your CFO walked in right now and he was joining our meeting, and he told you that you were some of your hardware stores are losing $1 million a year, and we just found out it was happening for 5 years. I said, come on, man, you know your client. He's already a client. How fast would he fix it? And he smiled. I said, come on, stop smiling. Tell us how fast he'd fix it. And he's still smiling. I said, stop smiling. He goes, right away. Right away. So that's a classic example of how easy it is, even for the most experienced sales professionals, to jump across the compass, because we want to help. It's also an example of how we can compromise a perfectly sound solution. This client, a discerning client, by the way, already owned their solution, and they compromised it by talking about the benefits of it. And I see that. Let's bring it back home to our world. I see that with life insurance all the time, that we go out and talk about life insurance and the benefits of it, which there many of them are very significant, and you can't duplicate them. And we talk about the benefits of owning it, and we bastardize a perfectly sound solution. I encourage everybody listening to me, stop communicating the benefits of owning life insurance. Start communicating the cost, the consequence, the risk, and the absence of owning life insurance, not the benefits of owning it, and watch how fast you'll start to serve more people, shorten your sales cycles, create urgency around your advice, and start making a difference with the businesses and communities you serve.
Well, that's a terrific example, Chuck. Now, we've got to wrap up because we're about at our time limit here. For those listeners who want to know more about you and your system, where's the best place for them to turn?
Right now, the best place is just go to my website, and it's three words, all one word. It's redflagadvantage.com. So that's the best place to contact, learn more about the system, and love to help anybody out there.
All right, so All right. So one more time, that's redflagadvantage.com. Check it out. Chuck, thank you so much for taking some of your very valuable time and making it available to join us here today on the Life Podcast. I thought it was a terrific conversation. I'm sure the listeners will think the same. So,
yeah, you guys are great. Thanks for having me on.
Well, that was a terrific conversation, Bill. I'm really sorry that I could not have been there. I'm sorry that I was so busy with my other duties at the Total Solutions Forum. But thanks for that great conversation with Chuck. I can see what you mean by him being the most enthusiastic guest that we've ever had on the Life Podcast.
Yeah, a little bit behind the curtain. After the episode was over, Chuck volunteered himself for basically monthly podcasts in perpetuity. Unfortunately, we just don't have the resources nor capacity to do that because we have such a backlog of great topics for the Life Podcast. But we'll definitely have him on at some point in the future here again because he is a great guest. Speaking of other episodes of the Life Podcast, if one of our listeners wants to listen to a past episode, definitely check that out at thelifepodcast.com. That's our website for the show, and that's where we keep all the past episodes. So go ahead and check that out. Also, if you have a question for myself or Steven or even Chuck, you're welcome to send it to us at themailbag@pacificlife.com. Again, that's themailbag@pacificlife.com. That's a special inbox that only Steven and I have access to. So go ahead and send us an email there and we'll get back to you in regards to your question. Finally, if you are a subscriber on Apple Podcasts, drop by and leave us a review. We always love to hear from our listeners. So for Stephen Mitchell, I'm Bill Bell. Thanks for listening.
The primary purpose of life insurance is death benefit protection. Life insurance is subject to underwriting and approval of the application and will incur monthly policy charges. Pacific Life is a product provider. It is not a fiduciary and therefore does not give advice or make recommendations regarding insurance or investment products. In order to sell life insurance, a financial professional must be a properly licensed and appointed life insurance producer. Pacific Life Insurance Company is licensed to issue insurance products in all states except New York. Product/material, availability, and features may vary by state. Pacific Life Insurance Company is located in Newport Beach, California. Chuck Hollander and Red Flag Advantage are not affiliated with Pacific Life Insurance Company. PACLIFE stands for Pacific Life. CFO stands for Chief Financial Officer. COLI stands for Company-Owned Life Insurance. BOLI stands for Bank-Owned Life Insurance. This podcast was recorded on September 22nd, 2022. The state code for this podcast is 23-93.